Scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at the 21st through the 34th verses. Mark chapter 5, 21 through 34. And now I'm on. Hopefully all you can hear me now. Mark 5, beginning with the 21st verse. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter's dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she'll be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And may the Lord add understanding to the reading of his word this morning. I like restoration shows on TV. Doesn't matter much to me what's being restored. I just love seeing the end product. I love seeing the before and after pictures of a house or a car. You see the broken down, dusty, unusable beginning product and the end result, which looks so shiny and new, and something that's sold for next to nothing. Something is sold for next to, that would have sold for next to nothing. At the end of the show, it's sold for, well, almost a fortune. Jesus is in the restoration business. He's in the restoration business. I'm a product of the restoration business of Jesus. Our project out back is going to provide many sermon illustrations. And you, as Ross said, the foundation was poured this past week. And sometimes we'd like to think, okay, once something's started, it'll be done. It'll be finished really quickly. Well, that's going to be a process back there. It's going to take 9 or 10 months. And when the Lord saves us, that's not the end of the story. When the Lord saves us, that's the beginning of the restoration project. And he goes on to work in us and through us and to turn us into his image. We're all at different places in that restoration project. Some of us are almost done. Some of us, you know, we're just about finished. And other ones, they've just poured the foundation. But the end result for all of us will be that Christ is changing us into his image. I love the Billy Graham Library was just a couple of miles from where Janice and I had a home down in outside of Charlotte. And Ruth Bell Graham and Billy now both are buried there. But I love what it says on Ruth Bell Graham's tombstone. This is something she just simply saw in traffic one day and said, "I want to put this on my tombstone." It says simply, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." I like that. I like that. And that is what the Lord is up to in our lives. This is a very familiar story that we read this morning. I'm sure most of you know it well. Jesus is in the middle of a great throng, and he is touched by a woman who's had a bleeding problem for 12 years. He's actually started off to go with Jairus. Jairus begs him to come to his house and heal his daughter who's dying. And so Jesus starts off with Jairus. The crowd is thronging around him and touching him and poking and prodding him. And I don't think they wanted to touch him in the way this woman wanted to touch him. No, I think the crowd just wanted to touch him in the way we might want to touch a rock star. Jesus is the center of attention. Let's touch him. Have you ever been in the middle of a great crowd? Perhaps at a ball game or a concert. Or perhaps in the middle of a great crowd as you're walking down a street in a major city. I remember walking the streets of Old Jerusalem, and I use that word streets, you know, loosely, because the streets of Old Jerusalem are nothing more than really alleys. They're very, very narrow, and people, you know, going both ways. And I have a natural reaction when I'm in the middle of a crowd and people are brushing up against me and bumping me. You know what that natural reaction is? I go like this. I make sure that my wallet's still there. And sometimes if the crowd is really intense, I'll take my wallet and I'll put it in the front pocket. I don't know if it's any harder for a pickpocket to get it out of here than it is back there, but for some reason I feel more comfortable with it up front. But the reason you do that sometimes is because it's hard to tell the difference between a push or a bump and a pickpocket. And I'm sure Jesus was being poked and bumped a lot that day with that great crowd. But most of those touches were superficial. They were superficial, like we might brush up against somebody at a ball game and not even remember it. But then somebody touched him in a different way, in such a way that power, that healing virtue, flowed out of him. It caused him to stop in the middle of that important thing that he was going to do. He was going to go and touch Jairus' daughter and heal her, but it caused him to even stop in the middle of that, on his way to that, and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" I want to ask you, is there anybody here that wants to touch Jesus today? Is there anybody here that wants to touch him today? Not in a superficial way, but you want to touch him in a deep and meaningful way. When he said, "Who touched me?" the disciples thought it was a crazy question. Who touched you? Look at all these people thronging around you. But the word translated "touched" here doesn't mean what we think of when we say "touch." We think it means to feel. But as I said, there are many who superficially touch Jesus, who feel him. Many who come to church and they feel maybe something exciting. Many who come and they maybe sense his presence. Many who may be excited about what they see, but they walk away the same way they came in, still bound by stuff, still as lost or as lonely or as off track as when they came in. Why? Because they never really touched him. They may have grasped him or had physical contact with him, but they never touched his heart. No, to touch here can be translated to fasten oneself onto. And it makes me think of a pit bull locking onto something. It implies grabbing hold without the intention of ever letting go. And so I ask you again, who's going to touch Jesus today? Have you ever noticed this woman's name is not even mentioned in the scriptures? It doesn't say that Sue or Mary or Betty had this problem. She's just known as the woman with the issue of blood, the woman with the bleeding problem. That's all that was needed to be said back then, and everybody would know who you were talking about. In other words, that was what she was known for. That's kind of a bad thing to be known for, I guess. But she's not known by her name, but by her issue. Like, we hardly ever say the name Bartimaeus. We ever hardly say the name Bartimaeus in the Bible without prefixing it by saying blind Bartimaeus. And I was talking about someone the other day, someone I don't know well, but I know about them, and I know that they are known for having a terrible temper. Everybody knows this person by their terrible temper. That's their issue. That's how they're known. But how many of us are primarily known for our issue? There's that woman with the bitter spirit. There's that man that was hurt by the pastor. There's that kid whose dad used to beat him. We walk around wearing our issues like a name tag. That's what we're best known for. We become totally wrapped up and defined by what's happened to us. It defines our attitudes. It defines our outlook. It defines our actions. It even defines what we believe. This was a woman whose issue had taken over her entire life. Because of her illness, she was considered unclean just like a leper. And what's that mean practically? It means she could not go into the temple or any house of worship and worship. She wouldn't have been allowed in there. And that would have hindered her relationship with the Lord. She couldn't have drawn closer to the Lord in the house of worship. Because of her issues, she couldn't have had normal relationships with other people, including her husband and children. Bible doesn't say. I don't know if she was married and had kids or not. If she was married and had children, it would have effectively damaged that relationship because of the culture back then. If she wasn't married, then honestly, there was no hope that she was going to be married because of her issue. She was literally cut off from God and man because of what she was going through. But how many of us, we feel disqualified from everything, and we feel disqualified from everyone because of our issue? I can't worship because of what's happened in my life. I can't serve because of what's happened to me. I can't help. I can't impact anybody because of what's happened to me. I can't fulfill my destiny because of what's happened to me. I see others glorifying God and moving on in their Christian walk, but I just can't seem to move ahead because of this thing that's hindering me. This woman's life had been ruined by her issue. She'd spent all the money she had on doctors, but things had only gotten worse. Everywhere she went, oh, what a terrible burden this was. Back at that time in that culture, she had to call out just like the lepers. Whenever anybody approached her, she would have to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Because it was thought her disease might be communicable. That's why she snuck up on Jesus here. She doesn't stride up to Jesus and elbow her way through the crowd and say, "Here, I need to touch the master." No. She basically sneaks up. She's trying so hard to be unnoticed. She was embarrassed about having her issue publicly disclosed because her life had been so devastated. Maybe some here can relate to her. You've tried everything. You've prayed. You've done everything you know to do, and things haven't gotten any better. Your issues cost you money. Your issues cost you time. Your issue has maybe cost you your sense of dignity. But in the face of all that, there's good news this morning. The woman's desperation drove her to Jesus. She resolved, "I'm going to push past all this. I'm going to get past all this, and I am going to touch Jesus." And she must have had a belief, because after 12 years, she must have had a belief that things were never going to change. She was determined to push past that as well. She was going to keep going. She was going to keep trying until she could touch Jesus. Now, understand, Jesus is God. Jesus knows past, present, and future, everything. He knows at this point who touched him. That's not why he asked the question, "Who touched me?" The reason he asked the question is to draw this woman out of the shadows and into the glorious freedom of a new relationship with him. He does not want us to remain silent once we've been touched by him. He wants us to share the good news of what he's done for us. And so he draws the woman out, and he commends her. He calls her daughter. She's now a child of the King. She's a woman of faith. And that faith to grab a hold of the Lord and not let go, that faith has made her well. There is such a difference between a casual contact with the Lord and holding on as if our lives depended on it, between being a spectator and someone who is really seeking and is really determined to know Jesus. Here's what we need to know from this episode. His power is greater than our issue. I dare say most of us have come into this building this morning, whether you know Christ or not, most of us have come into this building this morning with issues, with stuff that we feel is holding us back, with stuff that is hindering us, with stuff that has happened to us, with stuff that we seemingly can't overcome. And that's our issue, whatever it may be. And you're not alone in having that issue. But you need to understand, no matter what your issue is, His power is greater. His power is greater than our issue. His power is greater than our problem, no matter what that issue or problem may be. And when we reach out, when we are determined to reach Him, when we are determined to hang on and not let go, we will touch Him, and His power will bring our healing. The Bible says that when we seek Him with all of our heart, we will find Him. That promise still holds true. I have a favorite poem. It's been my favorite poem for decades, practically since the time I heard it. I know you know this poem, but just listen afresh to the words. Perhaps even close your eyes and picture the scene as I read this. Just listen. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then two, only two, $2, and who make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. And then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who make it two? $2,000, and who make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a life, and many a man with life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of a master's hand. You may think, after struggling with an issue for a long time, you're not worth much. The devil may have done a number on you about what you're truly worth and your sense of dignity. But the Lord says you are invaluable. You are so, so precious to Him. I say again today, the sin that is holding on to you, the issue that you're dealing with, is not as powerful in your life as the power of God. The length of your issue, and you may have been dealing with it for a long time, it is not as powerful as the power of God. All you need, all your issue needs to be resolved, is the touch of the Master's hand. And so today, I say to you, today can be the day when the Master touches you. Be determined that you're not going to leave here today without grasping a hold of Him and never letting go. And when you grasp a hold of Him with a determination to never let go, healing virtue will flow out of Him, just like it did that day with the woman with the issue of blood. And He'll say, "Who touched me? Who touched my heart? Who touched my heart? Come and be healed today. Come and let your issue be dealt with today. Come and give praise to the one who created you, because the same one who created you will bring healing in your life. And so the altar is open. The invitation is given. For whatever reason, for whatever issue, for whatever problem, for whatever sin, for whatever burden, for whatever burden you may have for someone else, I say to you, that issue is not as powerful as the power of God in your life. Come and grasp a hold of Him and be healed. The altar is open today and the invitation given.